What are you doing with the surveillance team?
I'm assisting them with their computer interfaces, sir. They need help with...
Never mind, Urbain interrupted, impatient. I need the team's report at once.
Now? Habib asked. Other faces appeared behind him, crowding into the screen, men and women, all of them looking tired, baggy-eyed, disheveled.
We're going balls out to make our presentation tomorrow morning, said one of the men.
We're pulling an all-nighter here, said a woman, looking irritated as she pushed her hair away from her face.
I understand and I appreciate how hard you are working, Urbain said, trying to keep his own annoyance from showing on his face.
Still, why don't you come down here, the woman suggested.
Habib looked startled momentarily, then he nodded.
Yes, that might be the best thing, sir.
If you could come over to our lab.
Urbain thought it over for all of 5 seconds, then...
Very well, I shall.
Then he asked,
just where is your lab?
Pancho unhooked the safety harness and got up stiffly from the simulator chair. The three-dimensional displays on the walls of the tight little compartment flickered and went dark. She ducked through the hatch and stepped into the simulator control chamber where Wanamaker was shutting down the computer system that ran the simulation. Stretching to her full height and raising her long arms above her head, Pancho felt her vertebrae pop. Ooh-wee, she groaned. Been a long time since I sat in one place for so long.
8 hours, Wanamaker said, kneading her shoulders. Full mission, Sim.
How'd I do? He nodded toward the silent bank of consoles.
The computer says you did pretty well.
Pretty well?
Reflexes were a little slow on the recapture sequence.
But I picked her up okay, didn't I?
He nodded. Could be smoother, Punch. When you're actually out there in the rings, you'll be working with a neophyte. You can't expect her to be much help.
It's her life she's laying on the line, and it's your responsibility to fish her out of the rings and bring her home safely, said Wanamaker. Pancho made a mock scowl.
You're a lousy boss.
Grinning, Wanamaker replied,
You don't make Admiral by being a sweetheart.
Stretching again, Pancho changed her tone and said,
Okay, sailor, wanna buy me a drink?
You've earned one, and dinner.
Pancho took his arm and let him lead her toward the door of the simulations chamber, but she stopped halfway there and turned back toward the consoles.
Better schedule another full-up for tomorrow morning, she said, this time with Nadia in the loop.
Urbain felt slightly ridiculous pedaling an electrobike halfway across the habitat to the village of Delhi, but either the electric motor was defective or he didn't know how to engage it properly. Every time he tried, the motor refused to turn on. So Urbain pedaled the entire distance along the winding path between Athens and Delhi. The village was sparsely occupied, most of its buildings dark and empty. As he was wondering if he'd be able to find the building Habib had directed him to, he saw a young woman up ahead waving a hand lamp. He braked to a stop in front of her, and in the light of the lamp recognized her as the one who had suggested he come to Habib's lab. She was taller than he had expected, with long, straight, ash-blonde hair that fell well past her shoulders.
"Good evening," Urbain said, puffing slightly from the unaccustomed exercise.
"Ms. Negroponte," she said.
"Yolanda Negroponte, I've been on your geosciences team since we left Earth."
It was meant as a rebuke, and Urbain knew it.
"Yes, of course," he muttered, trying to recover.
"Of course.
I'm a biologist," she added over her shoulder, as she opened the door to the building.
Urbain followed her inside, wondering why a biologist was working on the surveillance team. Then he realized that there was precious little biological work for her to do while Alpha was lost and silent. As soon as Negroponte pushed open the door of the makeshift laboratory, Habib rushed to Urbain's side. He was slightly shorter than Negroponte, his skin several shades darker than her golden tan. Nearly a dozen other men and women clustered around them. Urbain could smell odors of stale food and old coffee. Containers of takeout dinners littered the folding tables along the back wall. He realized that he himself had not eaten since lunch, many hours ago.
I'm so glad you could join us here, Habib said, half apologetically. I know it's a long haul. Urbain, feeling sweaty from his pedaling, replied, Time is vital. We must find Alpha before she goes into hibernation mode.
Or dumps the data it's accumulated, one of the other scientists said.
Urbain tried not to glower at him. What have you accomplished?
Not as much as we had hoped, Habib said. But something of significance, nevertheless, Negroponte added. She stood beside Habib almost protectively. She was a big-boned woman with lank, light blonde hair. Urbain wondered what their personal relationship might be.
We've set up a three-dimensional display of what the satellites have actually observed, Habib said. We had intended to spend the night running through it and making certain there aren't any glitches in it.
Urbain said, I will view it, glitches and all. Nodding uncertainly, Habib said, Yes, sir. If you'll please take a seat. He indicated a flimsy-looking plastic chair set before a blank wall screen.
Urbain sat, and the entire team seemed to flutter away to workstations that were set against the wall behind him, all except Habib, who stood beside the seated Urbain. The wall screen glowed and then displayed a view of gray, rough, uneven ground. Before Urbain could comment, the view suddenly acquired depth, clarity. It became a fully three-dimensional image.
Urbain strained his eyes, but he could see no marks of treads, no tracks or depressions in the surface.
That's Alpha's original landing site, Habib said.
You are certain? Urbain demanded.
Sir, that's just about the only thing we are certain about.
For the next 2 hours, Urbain watched in growing aggravation as Habib and his team patched views from the satellites. Hardly any trace of Alpha's tracks could be seen other than a short stretch of tread prints here and there, seemingly almost at random. One view showed a small frozen lake with a small mountain of piled-up ice in its middle.
That's water ice, Negroponte's voice called out.
And you can see a slight indication of tracks leading to the edge of the lake, said Habib.
Did Alpha sink into the lake? Urbain asked, alarmed.
We don't think so, Habib replied. We have some tracks on the other side.
Ah, there they are. But there must be more tracks, Urbain demanded. We know Alpha's mass and the tensile strength of the ground. We have calculated the depth to which the tracks would sink.
Habib nodded again, but his face showed apprehension.
Sir, we know that the treads were designed to spread Alpha's weight so that she wouldn't sink too deeply into the ice.
Still, she must have left tracks. It's impossible for her not to have done so.
I agree, sir, but if you notice the timeline of the images we've shown, tracks show up only in the most recent images.
Or in places where the vehicle must have dug itself more deeply into the ground, said one of the others, such as the lakeside.
There's no sign of tracks at the original landing site, Negroponte added, walking across the dimly lit room to stand beside Habib.
Twisting in his chair, Urbain looked up at the two of them.
What are you suggesting? That the tracks are eroded by weathering?
No, sir, said Habib, with a shake of his head. Natural erosion rates would be too slow to erase the tracks.
Then what?
Something is actively erasing them.
Something?
Urbain felt alarmed.
What do you mean? What something?
We don't know, sir, but some force or agency is actively erasing Alpha's tracks almost as soon as they're laid down.
Something alive, perhaps, added Negroponte. The biologist.
17 February, 2096, Fitness Center. I'm going to kill myself out there, Wonderly puffed as she jogged on the treadmill. Striding on the machine beside her, Pancho hiked her eyebrows and answered, If you screw up the way you did in simulator this morning, yeah, you probably will. I was really terrible. It was your first time in a full-up sim, Pancho said, trying to sound sympathetic. You need more practice. A lot more, she added silently. The recapture sequence had been a total mess. Pancho had shooed Wanamaker and Tavallera away after Wonderly's miserable performance in the simulator. She had wanted to take the scientist to the cafeteria for an undisturbed lunch together, but Wonderly had insisted on a session in the fitness center instead. So Poncho had foregone lunch and changed into a rented running suit so that she and Wonderly could try to figure out their next move. Now they trotted on the treadmill.